following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? It is Monday, July the 24th. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. This is End Time Headlines Viewpoint. If you're joining us for the first time on any platform, whether Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live, whatever the case may be, we want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Perhaps you're watching the rebroadcast of this on our app or on any of these platforms. We want to welcome you as well. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We've got a few things I want to talk about tonight. We got a new article, or a new survey, I guess you could say. I want to show you that. The percentage of Americans that believe in God has fallen to an all-time low. Let's talk about this for a few minutes, and then I'm going to lead up to the main point of what I wanted to talk about tonight, and that is don't fall for this trap. Don't fall for this trap. So let's just get started on this, and we'll just see where the Lord will take us tonight on this special viewpoint segment. The percentage of Americans that actually believe in God is continually shrinking. Yes, a majority of Americans still think that God exists, but according to new research and new polls and surveys that's been conducted, the trend of those that believe in God is slowly on the decline, is quickly on the decline. Some researchers even say that we are on track of heading in the same direction as in nations in Western Europe. According to a new shocking new survey that Gallup has just released, the percentage of Americans that believe in God has now plunged to the lowest level that has ever been recorded. Let me give you a little bit of an excerpt from this. Quote, the percentage of Americans who believe in each of five religious entities, God, angels, heaven, hell, and the devil, have all edged on a downward spiral, since 2016. According to this research, 74% say they still believe in, quote, God. But as Michael Snyder pointed out in this article that he did here, we have to ask ourselves what kind of God they're referring to. Because out of that 74%, we then have to break that down to, do they believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm willing to bet that number significantly drops. Since 2001, the percentage of Americans that believe in God has fallen by a stunning 16 points. Now, if you couple this with the fact that church attendance in itself has been on the decline as well over the past few years, we can clearly see here that what Paul talked about, the falling away. The falling away is in motion. He talks about this in Thessalonians. Quote, the U.S. church attendance has shown a small but noticeable decline compared with what it was before COVID pandemic. In the 4 years before the pandemic, 2016 through 2019, an average of 34% of U.S. adults said they had attended church, synagogue, a mosque, or a temple in the past 7 days. From 2020 to today, present, the average has been 30%, including a 31% reading in May 1st to the 24th survey of this year. This church attendance level is around 10% lower than what Gallup measured back in 2012 and most prior years. The bottom line here is the American people are increasingly losing faith in organized religion. And it doesn't help that almost every day there is some story in the news, some report, some article regarding some member of the clergy, a pastor, a leader of the church committed in some type of sexual conduct, sexual misconduct, I should rather say, some scandal, or them basically coming out saying that they are abandoning their faith. Snyder pointed out in this article that as of the time that he wrote this, there was an executive pastor that was reported to have stolen $130,000 from his own church. This was a pastor from New Hampshire. He was an executive pastor He was sentenced to 18 months in prison for stealing nearly right around $130,000 from his church to pay off gambling debts and to make purchases. Then when we start, when we take this information and we start dissecting this even more, then we start talking about the young people. And according to one recent poll, approximately, now think about this, 2 out of every 5 young adults in the United States believe that marriage is a, quote, outdated tradition. Let me read a little bit of this. A new survey finds that 2 in 5 young adults think marriage is an outdated tradition. Moreover, a staggering 85% don't think you need to get married to have a fulfilling and committed relationship. The poll, which was commissioned by the Thriving Center of Psychology, found that more women, 52%, than men, 41%, have this view of marriage. So you've got this decline of people that believe in God. You've got a decline of people attending an organized church. You've got a decline of young people that don't even believe in the covenant of marriage as God ordained. Then you have the percentage of individuals that are now coming out and identifying with the alphabet community. In fact, at Yale University, one of the prestigious universities in America, 29% of the current body identifies as LGBTQ. According to Yale Daily News, around 29% of its responding student body recently identified as something other than straight, as the school boasted that it, quote, welcomed the largest and most diverse class in university history. When detailing this study, 14% said they were bisexual, 6% gay and lesbian, 8% were questioning their gender identity, and 1% were asexual. Then we move over to Harvard University, where 21% of this same group was noted and is set to even go higher. The 2023 class had about 21% non-straight population, according to Harvard Crimson, but the school is ready to outdo itself as the class of 2025 will increase that number to 29%. This rate is more than 18% increase from the class of 2017, which was represented by an 89.9% straight student body. So look at the decline of this. Then we have this article. Americans are placing more emphasis on hobbies, money, and community, and less on, quote, religion. Let's read a little bit of this. This is all going to play in to our segment today. We've kind of got a first half and a second half. We're on the first half here. I want to, this again, we're going to tie this in with the second half. So I know some of you wanted to come on here for the second half of this, but just hang with me because we build a foundation here. This is not TikTok. We don't do a 20, 30 second message and then we call it out. No, we build a foundation here. As the value Americans place on religion has declined, and we just talked about that, over the last 2 decades, there is an increasing share of society that now ranks community activities, hobbies, or recreational activities, money, friends, and health as extremely or very important priorities in their lives. In fact, they have exalted that above God. While family maintained its rank as the highest priority of all, the results of a new Gallup survey show. The results of the survey conducted on June the 1st to the 22nd with a random sample of 1,013 adults living in all 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia indicate that 96% of Americans rank their family as extremely or very important. This same share of Americans rank their family as extremely or very important using data from a survey conducted between the years 2001 to 2002. While religion fell by 7% from 65 to 58% over the comparison period, all of the priority areas measured showed increases. In other words, more than half of Americans now say community activities and hobbies or recreational activities are now extremely or very important to them, whereas religion is declining. Now, so let's do a general recap here real quick. So we now know that the falling away that Paul emphasized, he said there, this falling away would precede the revealing of the Antichrist. That's in Thessalonians. He talks about this. Now, that word, again, that the phrase, I should say, falling away, deals specifically with the church, the ecclesia. It deals with those in the body of Christ. It doesn't deal with unbelievers. He's talking about, when he talks about the falling away, he's talking about individuals who claim to be believers, claim to be Christians. They identify as born again, but they begin to, as Paul told Timothy, they depart from the faith. This is where we get the Greek word apostasia, where we derive the word apostasy. And that's what this word, this phrase falling away is and what it means. So we can clearly see this is happening. Now, I've got a message lined up. I'm going to try to get to it this week. We've got so much stuff to cover this week. I'm going to try to work on this. And I want to show you, the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. And we have these perceptions of what this looks like. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to prove to you that we are seeing judgment and it's beginning in the house of God. And one of the ways that this is happening is God is allowing, watch this, corrupt leadership, apostate leaders to come into the body of Christ and lead people astray. Why? Because people have turned from God. Just like as a nation, when a nation turns from God, you can find this in the book of Judges. You can find this in the story of the Israelites in the time of King Saul. You can go through, there's many scriptures in the Bible where when Israel began to reject God as a nation, when they begin to turn from God, as a direct consequence of that, God would raise up wicked and corrupt and apostate leaders over those nations that would lead them into captivity. I'm telling you, friends, what we're seeing right now in the house of God, and I don't want to get into this message tonight, but we're going to detail this. I'm going to show you that judgment is here. It's already happening in the house of God, and people are eating it up. They're being bewitched, as Paul said, and they're being led astray by doctrines of demons and devils. What has opened the door for this? The rejection of God. The abhorring his commandments, abhorring his precepts, abhorring his word. They're turning from the word of God. And because of that, God is just giving them over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, you want to stay tuned for that. I'm going to try my best to get that in this week. We're going to try to fit it in. But we got a lot of stuff happening in the Middle East. We've got a lot of stuff happening with digital currency that we want to talk about. We've got a lot of stuff to cover this week, and we'll try to get all that in. But let me get back to this message. Listen, ministers have always said, I have said myself, in order for us to navigate through these perilous times, we have to stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Do you believe that, church? Come on. Amen right there. We have to be rooted and grounded in our faith, rooted and grounded in the Word of God that never changes. Society changes. The culture changes. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this word shall pass away until all things be fulfilled. So we've established that. We know this. What would you think if I told you that we would come to a time when this book, and you've heard me talk about this book will be the target of hate, discrimination, and division, and eventually they're coming after this book. Okay, we know that. We've established that. We've talked about this. We've driven this point home. Let me give you this for, we've beaten this dead horse to the point where our arms are numb and we dropped the bat. We have talked about this so much, but watch this. I want to throw a different angle. There was an article that came out today, or not today, excuse me. There was an article that came out this week. We shared this on our main website. I want to show you this article. And this article right here got me really thinking. This is from the Christian Post. Look what it says here. Quote, will digital Bibles like the YouVersion Bible app displace paper Bibles. Let me say that one more time. Will digital Bibles like YouVersion, like the Bible apps, I guarantee you a lot of you have a Bible app on your phone. I've got a Bible app on my phone. It's not evil inherently, but we have some troubling things that I want to share with you. And before we're going to put a stake there. I want to jump over to another article and then we're going to come back because again, I got to show you all the angles of this so you can see my concern and my perception of what I'm going to try to relay to you, why I'm concerned about this. There was a report that came out this week. Now we know that artificial intelligence is growing, it's expanding, and it's taking over every sector of our life. It is what it is. Experts who have warned about this, all the innovators that have warned about this, they've all said the same thing, that this thing is so big now and it's grown so much that what has come out of Pandora's box cannot be put back in the box. It cannot be contained. So now many of these have changed their tune to the point where they are now warning us as society that we are going to have to learn to live, adapt, and function in a society that is saturated with artificial intelligence, even to the point where artificial intelligence will become the dominant force and we could ultimately be its slave. Now, I want to read this. This is interesting. Google is now testing an AI tool that is able to write news articles. According to this report, Google is testing a product that uses artificial intelligence technology to produce news stories, pitching it to news organizations, including the likes of the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal's owner, News Corp, according to three individuals familiar with the matter. The tool, known internally by the working title Genesis, interesting name there, can take in information, details of current events, for example, and generate news copy, the people said, speaking on the condition of anonymity to discuss the product. According to the report, they believe that this could serve as a kind of, quote, personal assistant for journalists, automating some tasks to free up time for others, and that the company saw it as a responsible technology that could help steer the publishing industry away from the pitfalls of generative AI. Some executives who saw Google's pitch described it as, quote, unsettling. Asking not to be identified, discussing a confidential matter, two people said it seemed to take for granted the effort that went into producing accurate and artful news stories. Now here's a part that I thought was interesting. Look at this. Quote, Jeff Jarvis, a journalism professor and media commentator, said Google's new tool, as described, had potential upsides and downsides. Listen to this. Quote, if this technology can deliver factual information reliably, journalists should use the tool. Again, this poses the question that I have asked. Who determines what's facts? Who determines what's truth? Because if Google and PolitiFact and Snopes and USA Today and all of these entities that they're using to fact check everything from social media to news articles to websites to journalism. Are you telling me? So they're the arbitrators of truth. So you may be watching this and you say, well, Brother Ricky, what's that got to do with the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to the article. With more than 95 installs per minute, think about it, 95, almost 100 installs per minute, Life.Church's YouVersion Bible app celebrated its 15-year anniversary this month on more than 575 million unique devices in nearly 2,000 languages, and the digital popularity of the Word of God is showing no signs of slowing down. And I just want to say here, this is great. This is an awesome thing. I mean, it is reaching people around the world. And I believe it can fulfill Matthew 24. It says this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. So I have no doubt that, again, the good side of this could be that it's actually fulfilling prophecy, getting the word out, getting the gospel out, reaching people all ages, because all ages are now using social media. It is what it is. They're using their phones, they're using these apps. So this is the good side of this, but then you have the bad and ugly. Let's read on here. YouVersion CEO Bobby Grunwald explained in a recent release from the donor fund nonprofit that the Bible app was one of just 800 apps available for download when Apple launched its iOS Apple Store on July the 10th, 2008. Let me say that again. 800 apps. In the first 3 days, the app was downloaded more than 83,000 times, and the popularity of this app and Bible apps is only growing. It's increasing more and more and more. And here's a chart. If you're looking at this, if you're watching the visual of this podcast, you can see here from 2008, every year, look at the jump here. 1 million in 2009, 100 million in 2013, 200 million in 2015, 300 million, 400 million. It gets all the way up to 2021, 500 million. Then we go to 2023, and there's been over 575 plus million downloads. Then we get down here in the article, and it says, quote, as digital Bibles like this YouVersion Bible app continue growing in popularity, look at the question asked, will they one day replace physical Bibles? According to Digital Millennials and the Bible, produced in partnership with Barna Group in 2018, the print version of the Bible appears to be the choice of the majority of young people, 47% to 28%. So we still, again, that was in 2018. Now, Grunwald went on to say that, quote, the Bible app has been an effective tool to help people read the Bible more consistently, but I don't think the print Bible is going away. In fact, many of our users regularly use both of them, according to an email he sent to the Christian Post. So again, we got the good news, but then I want to talk about the bad and the ugly. We have the good, the bad, the ugly. The bad and the ugly of this is the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about is, again, let me go back to what I said earlier. This book is being targeted as a symbol and as a source of hate, division, and bigotry, whether it be printed or digital. I hope I'm wrong, but if you look at the trend of paper books in general, let's just leave out the Bible for a second, but let's look at paper books like you see right here behind me. These are paper copied books, traditional books with using paper and ink. This trend is on a rapid decline. Most people that download books are using Kindles. They're using tablets, and they're getting them digitally, and they're reading them digitally on their phones and on their tablets and their Kindles or whatever the case may be. Look at the evolution of newspapers. How many people do you know? Look, I'll tell you right now, I don't read a newspaper. When was the last time you went out and bought a newspaper in print and read it? Now, I guarantee you, if we did a poll, the mass majority of people do not read physical newspapers. They get online, they get on their phone, they get on their computer, they watch television, they receive their news digitally. How many people you know, very small percentage, still go to libraries? Honestly, we've had this discussion in private circles of my own family and friends and different individuals, and we have brought this up in discussion, and I was talking about how I'm surprised and I'm shocked that we still have physical libraries available. With the era of Google and every book you can think of now has a digital form of it or an audio form. So can you see this, guys? Because I can see this. How would the Bible be any different? Now, the older generation, like myself and older than myself, I love the paperback Bibles. I have a Bible app. I do. But I tell you right now, I rarely use that. The only time I ever use that is when I'm on the fly somewhere. I'm out of town. I'm looking up a verse. I don't have my Bible with me because I went over, somewhere out of town for a short period of time, whatever the case may be. That's the only reason. But when I'm doing my normal studies, I have paperback Bibles. I have a highlighter. I have a pen. I even still use a notebook and a pen. It's rare that I use a notebook and pen. Usually I type it out on my laptop, but I'm talking about as far as the Bible goes. But I'm just saying all this is evolving with as technology advances. Now, here, so you have the good, which is they're saying that a lot of people still lean towards the paperback. That's the good. The bad is this is slowly going to be on the decline as technology continues to advance, watch this, including the use of artificial intelligence, you're going to see this decline. Now, that's the bad. Okay? Here's the ugly part. Here's the ugly part of this. When corrupt governments, corrupt entities, agencies, organizations, get their direct hands involved in technology, artificial intelligence, social media platforms, and the list goes on, they can actually control and dictate, watch this, what you are able to download, and they can even go as far as to begin to change and remove and censor and add to things that were not in the original text when it's downloaded. And folks, this is exactly what's going on in China. You know, the ones who are spearheading this whole thing. We have leaders in America that look up to China and their technology, their advancements and all this. And they're saying that we want America to go in the direction that China is. So here you go. Let's watch this. And I want to show you the ugly of what could be on the horizon and why you need, if you don't have a physical paperback copy of the Bible, you need to get it. You need to have more than one on hand because I'm telling you, friends, it is coming. I don't know when. It could be years from now. It could be months from now. I don't know. But again, history always repeats itself. Let's watch this together.
Todd, how you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. You know, the topic that we are going to discuss today is a somber one, and it has to do with China and religious freedom and religious liberty. One of the most shocking things that I have seen, and there have been many shocking things to come out of China and what is going on there with religious minorities, is this rewrite of scripture, is that the Chinese Communist Party has taken the Bible and sort of reimagined it in their own lens and worldview. Can you discuss this a little bit?
Listen what he's saying here. The Chinese government is rewriting the Bible in order for it to line up with their agenda. Now, again, this is China. And if you think for a moment that this won't happen globally, then again, it's time to get your head out of the sand. Let's watch this.
Give people a little bit of background on what's going on here.
Yeah, this is a project that the Chinese Communist Party announced in 2019. Now, at the time, they said it would be about a 10-year process, but to release a new translation of the Bible that is more socialist, that is more Chinese, more culturally Chinese. And so they talked about working in some Confucian principles into it, working in some Buddhist principles into it, and really having...
And by the way, you know how many Christians are already doing that now? They don't even need this new version of the Bible from China. You've got a lot of Christians that are already doing that now. They're incorporating all kinds of other Eastern religions and false deities and false gods and New Age and all this nonsense and calling it Christianity. So I'm telling you, the masses will embrace this. When this comes to the West, you watch, they will embrace this. You've already got Peter that's rewriting the Bible. We've talked about this. We talked about that last week on another podcast. You've got the environmentalists that are trying to rewrite the Bible to make it more earth friendly and climate friendly. So you got all these people trying to rewrite the Bible to accommodate their agendas. So if somebody don't have, and this is what the whole premise of this is, if you don't have the original closest to the original language of the Bible, for sake of argument, we'll say a King James or a New King James. Okay. If you don't have that in your possession, then listen, all of our next generation that comes up, they're not going to know any better. They're not going to know that these passages were omitted from it, that they were removed, that they were censored, they were taken out. This is not good. And this is what's got me concerned about if people fully go to a digital app. I'm telling you, it will be, if they're messing with the paperback version and the paper copies of this, what are they going to do with a digital version of this? Because everything's going digital. Like it or not, it's happening.
This new translation that would really support the Communist Party.
I mean, so basically, it's no longer the Bible. It's something else entirely. And I think for those who don't know a lot about this issue, and that's why we're talking about it, what's the motivation? That's the simple question I think people would have. Why would the Chinese Communist Party make a decision to rewrite scripture?
Well, the issue for the Chinese Communist Party is control. It is always about control. And they see the gospel, they see the Christian message as something that would take control away from the Communist Party. If a citizen of China wakes up every morning and thinks, how can I serve the party today? How can I be a good communist today? That's what they want. If you wake up every morning and say, how can I glorify God today? How can I serve Jesus today? They see that as a direct threat to their control. And so they have really encroached on the church, and they have a long history of this. The Three Self Patriotic Movement, the officially sanctioned Protestant Church of China, has always tried to kind of co-opt Christianity and use it for communist purposes. But they, even in recent years, have taken that a step further. Now it is, you know, your church used to have a picture of Jesus at the front. Let's take that picture of Jesus down. Let's put up a picture of President Xi Jinping. Your church.
Oh, and by the way, this is not the new. There was another regime. You could do your research. I will not name the name. But under this tyrannical leadership in the 1930s, there was pictures of this leader in churches, and people would salute this leader in the churches. And by the way, notice here, he said a state-sanctioned church from China. This, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that this is not coming to the West, if you think for a moment that as Christianity continues to decline, interest in religion continues to decline, the increase of secularism continues to rise, Satanism, New Age, the occult, witchcraft, as Christianity declines and all this stuff increases, you will eventually, and the rise of what I call the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah that is legitimately the puppet master that's pulling the strings of the ABC community, that is constantly, militantly demanding that we change laws, standards, moralities, convictions, and everything to accommodate their agenda. As you see all this rising, if you think for a moment that there's not coming a apostate religion in the future that will be governed and ruled by the false prophet, Revelation 13, this will be a one world religion. And this religion will accommodate every belief. It will accommodate these groups. It will be non-offensive. It'll be completely tolerant of all sin. It'll be tolerant of lifestyles. It won't matter what your gender is. It won't matter if you are living in fornication, adultery, homosexuality, if you're committing what the Bible calls abominations. None of this will matter. But this will be the state-governed and state-approved, I would say the nation, the religion of the end time beast system of Revelation 13. All this is paving the way for this.
Used to sing Christian hymns at the beginning of the service. Let's stop singing those hymns and let's start singing some good Communist Party anthems to start out your gathering. And so this new socialist translation of the Bible is just another step for the Chinese Communist Party as they try to control the church and really co-opt Christianity as a means of controlling the people and helping them serve the party's interests.
You know, your organization, just to give an example of this Bible rewrite, Voice of the Martyrs, you posted on Facebook recently, it's so shocking to me, an excerpt from John 8, 7 through 11.
Yeah, listen to this.
I'm going to read what is here. This was posted in a textbook, I believe, in September of 2020. It reads, Jesus once said to the angry crowd who was trying to stone a woman who had sinned, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." When his words came to their ears, they stopped moving forward. When everyone went out, Jesus stoned the woman himself and said, quote, "I am also a sinner."
Whoa.
When I read that, that to me is one of the most shocking. What was your reaction?
That's blasphemy.
Well, in one sense, it's just like so arrogant to think I'm going to rewrite the story of Jesus. I'm going to rewrite that story. But then you think about, you know, denying the deity of Christ. If Jesus is a sinner, then he's not God.
Right.
The fact that he would stone a woman, where we know that he said, you know, "I'm not judging you either. Now go and sin no more." They just so altered the story. And this is just one example of what they are trying to do in this new version.
One example.
The other thing, though, is questions. You know, how does this, obviously it denies the deity of Christ, but it doesn't make me want to be a communist. So how, you know, how do they see this as serving the party? The other thing that's interesting, this was released, as you mentioned, in a textbook in 2020. There has been a lot less talk about this new translation from the Chinese government since some of these things became public. And it's almost like as these things became public, they were embarrassed when they were called out on it and called out on, hey, you know, Jesus didn't stone the woman. Jesus didn't say, "I'm a sinner." What kind of a translation is this? So it's interesting to see that they have kind of quieted down about this project. And it'll be interesting to see when we start to see more translated passages, if perhaps, you know, they've been embarrassed into being a little more accurate, or if this is just an example of the direction they're going and they're committed to do that all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, if you're only making one version of the Bible legally available and you're putting in a line that says, "I am also a sinner," and attributing it to Jesus, it seems like the goal obviously is to dismantle the purpose of script. They seem to understand what the purpose of the gospel is to some degree. I don't want to give them too much credit, but they seem to understand it because it seems aimed at dismantling it. But scripture says, and there's a massive underground church, obviously, in China. Can you speak to that a little bit? What is it like to be a Christian in China who really wants to study the real Bible and understand it?
Now, you better pay attention to this, all our Western listeners. Everyone listening from the West, you need to listen to this right here, because this is a snapshot preview of our future. And I know all of you Americans, listen, and you're going to get mad at Brother Ricky right here, and because I'm going to make a statement here, and it's going to sound like I don't believe in this, but I do. Most people know that I do believe in a rapture of the church. But some of you have been so deceived by some of this glamorous preaching out here that makes it, some of these preachers out here, they crack me up because they make this, they paint a picture like the church is not going to have any persecution at all. That we're not going to see any troubles, any trials, any persecution. And before the Western church sees any trouble, we're going to be taken out of here. And we would never see anything like what we're seeing in China, like what we're seeing in North Korea and how they're dealing with Christians. But listen, I'm going to tell you, I've said this before. I don't argue with people on, listen, I believe in a rapture. But I'm not going to sit here and split hairs over the timing of the rapture, whether it's pre, mid, post. I will say this, and you've heard me say this, I believe the church will see and experience a whole lot more than what we've been traditionally taught with the pre-tribulation rapture teachers. And again, I've held to a pre-tribulation rapture belief for years. But I also believe that it's not going to be painted as pretty as it's been portrayed. Okay? So that's why I'm telling you right now. So come on, take a deep breath. I know this stings a little bit for me to say that, but you need to listen of what this man's about to say here, because what if, can I ask you a question today? What if the trumpet don't sound before we see what is experiencing in China to our brothers and sisters there and in North Korea and in Iran and places like that? What if we start seeing this on our doorstep? Will you lose faith? Will you stop serving the Lord? Will you fall away? That's what you have to ask yourself. So listen, I would take notes.
Well, there is a massive underground church. In fact, a Chinese government study several years ago, their document used the figure 120 million Christians.
Listen
in
to that.
China. And so that's why the Communist Party is so threatened. They know how many Christians there are. They know it's a direct threat to their power. But those who are Christians, you know, one of the challenges is just getting a Bible. The only way you can legally get a Bible in China is at a registered church. And if those are mostly in the big cities, so if you're in a rural area, you have almost no access to Bibles.
Now, okay, on that note, think about this. If paper Bibles, printed Bibles are obsolete, and the only way that you can obtain a Bible is through downloading an app, which the Chinese government controls. Look what they did during the pandemic. Look how they had control over communications, over what was being downloaded. They had, look at the big phone developers, look at Apple, look at Android devices, how they installed on them those apps that monitored what you did, where you went, who you were around. So can you see this? This would be, if this paper Bible is completely obsolete, this leaves only one source to obtain a Bible, and it's digitally. And if they control, come on, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. By the way, I'm working on a study right now, and we're going to do it soon, and we're going to break down. This is going to be one of the coolest things we've ever done. So just be watching for this. We're going to do a whole teaching on the fall of Lucifer and the whole chronological order of events that happened from the fall of Lucifer. We'll talk about the sons of God. We'll talk about the morning stars, the cherubim, the living creatures, the archangels. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to talk about the heaven. We're going to talk about angels, the creation of hell, all of it. So you don't want to miss that. But watch this. One of the names of Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So he has control over the second heaven. Isaiah said there's three heavens. Paul identified this in his writings in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, I was taken up into the third heaven, implying that there's three heavens. You have one heaven, which is the clouds and the sky that we see. You have the second heaven, which is the constellations, the stars, the planets. And then you have the third heaven, which is where the glory of God is and God's throne is. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 that he was taken up into the third heaven, where paradise is located. But watch this. Satan has been given dominion and authority over the second heaven, which is why we see such control over satellite, over internet, over television, over communications. And look at the wicked leaders. These communist leaders are mere puppets of the puppet master that's controlling them. If you don't think, guys, listen, lift the blinders for a second. Read Ephesians chapter 6. If you think it's not demonic to take the living word of God and twist it to say that Jesus was a sinner, if you don't think that's demonic, my friends, you need to get saved. This is absolutely demonic. This is the powers and principalities and rulers of darkness at work. So the point is, Satan knows his time is short, and he's going to use all the tools he has in his resources to try to, he cannot stop God. He can't stop prophecy from being fulfilled. So what is he going to try to do? He's going to try to hinder it. He's going to try to silence, come on, the word of God from being spread. And if he could shut down the paper versions of the Bible, then it all goes to digital, and we know who's controlling that.
And when you would go to that church and say, I want one Bible, that's possible. Probably you could get one Bible. If you went to the church and said, hey, my whole Bible study group wants a Bible, I need 10 copies, they would almost certainly say no to 10 copies. And if you said, I want 100 copies, there's no chance that's going to happen. So the Bible is very limited in its availability. It's only through those official channels, and it is limited in how much access people actually have. That's one of the reasons why Voice of the Martyrs and other groups are so committed to delivering Bibles into China, even smuggling Bibles into China, because it's not available. And you know, one of the things I hope about this new translation is that it will backfire, and people will wonder, well, why was it so important for the Chinese government to retranslate the Bible? Why was it so important for them to change this? Let's go back and look at what it originally said, and hopefully it will raise questions in people's minds, and they'll actually want to read the Bible and even want to go back and see what the translation was. So, you know, the Lord has a history of working through what some people intend for evil, God can turn for good. And I hope that's what happens with this new translation in China as well.
Well, again, I just hope, and Lord willing, that there is a source of original reference that they can go back and look at that. That's the danger. That's what I'm warning you about right now. That's the fear that I have, is that we won't have that available. So guys, listen, I'm telling you, if you don't have a physical, if you have an app and you don't have a physical paperback book copy edition of the Bible, you need to get it. Now, I know people's going to ask me what translation. Listen, you can't go wrong with a 1611 King James, and you can't go. And I personally like the New King James. Those are usually the two I hang out with. Those are the two that I study from. Those are the two that I will tell you to use. It is very rare that I use the New Living Translation. Some of the wording in it, if I use it, I got to make sure that it lines up with, again, some of these more trusted translations of the Bible. Now, having said all this, this is yet another sign of the times and seasons in which we're in. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Guys, I need you to do a few things before we end this broadcast. Number one, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to do that today. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android while it's there. Even this stuff is in danger. While it's there, while it's available, download the free app, hit it, get it today, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go with everything that we put out, all podcasts, all devotionals, all stories that we post. Everything will be right there on the app as always. And again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you wish to bookmark our website, that's going to be our main website. And of course, Guys, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it is a source of information, revelation, equipping and encouraging and teaching on a week-to-week basis, we want to give you that opportunity. Pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Right there on your screen, you can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Or you could give to End Time Headlines, and that could be at P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And again, I've said this over and over again, I can't express with words the gratitude of thanksgiving we have for our partners, our support base, and all of our prayer warriors. Again, continue to pray for our ministry. Continue to pray for Brother Ricky. I am still dealing with this battle of gastritis, not completely out of it. Am I better? Yes, but not out of the woods yet. It's a process. When I have these flare-ups, it usually lasts around 3 to 4 months. I'm only in month 2. I pray that this will go quicker than normal. And number 2, this will be the last one, because I pray that I will not ever make the foolish mistakes I did before. Cause come on, listen, prayer is good. Obedience to prayer is good. But there's a lot to do with our own demise, our own self-discipline. Come on, can I get an amen for somebody? Listen, God will never do in a miracle what you can do in your own strength. When you guys pray about healing, many times God has already given you the resources and how to heal your body. He doesn't have to be like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm not trying to get into a big teaching on this, but the woman with the issue of blood, if you study that, the reason literally Jesus was her last hope. And don't read in that. I'm not saying that you should resort to Jesus as your last hope, but it did say in the scripture, she spent all that she had on doctors and medicine. So she was trying to heal this thing naturally. She was trying to do what she could do in her own strength. But when what didn't work, she knew she could just touch the hem of his garment and that she would be made whole. Come on, somebody. So again, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that push notification, and you will be ready to go on our next broadcast and whenever we broadcast them. So we're going to sign off for today. We're going to be back on here tomorrow night on Tuesday, the 25th of July, with another great program, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.